Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Hamul Casino.
Good to be back. Final hour of Ben and Woods on a Wednesday. Also nice to start the week on a Wednesday for me. Shortens things up a little bit.
Yeah,
softens
birthday.
The return from vacation. We're going until 9 o'clock this morning. Corey Brock going to join us. Talk a little Tony Gwynn at the bottom of the hour. Not Tony Gwynn Jr., Tony Gwynn Sr. And a great piece he wrote about Gwynn's first professional season. Just days after he got married. Leaving to start his minor league baseball career in Walla Walla, Washington, which actually was not far from where I was over this past week, up in kind of the eastern central portion of Washington Woods. It's where my wife grew up, some of her formative years. And one of the fun things about going up there is seeing, you know, some of the places that, you know, were important to her, like her first job. It was a burger joint, kind of a drive-through burger restaurant where she actually, like, manned the grill at the burger joint. She said it was the hardest job she has ever had in her life. They worked them hard, busy, got to, you know, clean the fryer, clean the grill every single night afterwards. There was a water slide park. She was a lifeguard. She worked the concession stand at the water slide park as well, got to see that. It's fun to see kind of the formative years. Now, I wasn't around for your formative years.
No.
Or Paul's formative years. But I know you've talked about it a little bit. What's the hardest job you ever had growing up?
Oh, dude. I mean, growing up?
Yeah.
Or
anytime. Just anytime. Hardest job.
Doing construction for like 2 weeks.
Construction.
God, it was hard. Laying a floor. Using a tile saw. I have an immense amount of respect for anybody that can build something. And I told you, man, there's a floor. And I put it together in La Jolla in an office building. I needed the work, man. I was out of work. And I just had a baby. And I was doing part-time across the street. And my buddy Adam Powers owns a company called Redemption Construction. And I said, dude, I need cash. Do you have any work? I'll do manual labor, whatever. And he's like, yeah, come on by. And, dude, it was like pushing a wheelbarrow, sweeping up. And then he's like, hey, I want you to help lay this floor. I'm like, you don't want me in there. I learned how to cut tile with a tile saw, Ben. And, I mean, the guy would be like, all right, go cut me 70 pieces. And you had to measure it out. And water flying everywhere. You're like, but when we signed our new deal, I happened to be in La Jolla. And I was picking up my parents. And I walked by and I looked in that window. And I saw the floor that I laid, helped lay, grout, clean, scrape.
Slightly crooked.
And, you know, it looked great. It okay. Actually looks great. I think I got a picture of it somewhere. But I looked at that and was like, all right, don't ever complain about this gig again.
Massive respect. I mean, I know there's a lot of tier ones. You're going out, you know, work construction, jobs like that.
Dude, I have the utmost
back-breaking
respect.
Labor back-breaking labor all day. Our job is easy and it's fun. And yeah, the hours can be difficult at times, but otherwise we have just
some of the
we're just lucky.
Some of the a-holes weighing in sometimes
to get to
difficult.
Do. Now, Paul, have you what's the hardest job that you've ever had?
This working for you
right.
guys.
Yeah, probably. Right.
No, I did construction for about a month. Same, you know, just so difficult. I was burned out after about, I don't know, 2 days. And did it for about a month in between jobs. I was like 21, just needed money. And I learned a lot, and I learned a lot about what my body can go through because you are sore.
You're cash.
So tired. And then you got to wake up at 4 o'clock and do it again the next day. That was tough. My toughest job ever, it's radio. I had to work with somebody.
Right.
That was just an absolute nightmare.
I mean, there's like
I've actually got a long list.
Yeah, you got a few actually. You maybe worked for.
I mean, yeah, that's
all right.
How you doing?
I honestly would have trouble answering that question myself. I have been so lucky in all of the jobs that I have done. I think the hardest thing I ever did was youth basketball referee.
Oh, Ben is still the guy. You've never had to do a resume. I've been on a job interview.
Never really had a real job in my life. I've just cruised along talking about sports for now 20 plus years.
It's incredible. It's incredible. Hey, look, it's good work if you can get it.
Long hours for sure.
Yeah, gnarly hours.
Don't get much sleep, but what I do.
No one could ever say that you don't work hard.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You're a hard worker.
But
no question.
it's fun, and it's every single day is like a pleasure to come in and
most
get to
days
do this
I would
with
say
you guys.
Are a pleasure to come in
most
days.
Yeah, most days. But I can also lean on you guys for support, like leaning on Paul Reindl right now for an edition of the Reindl Report.
You're listening to the Reindl Report with Paul Reindl on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
It's my man CJ right there. See him weighing in on Twitter on some of those Dodger fans last night just fighting each other.
It's incredible.
Just
eating,
atrocious.
Eating their own, as usual. They just eat.
I'm watching these videos.
It's not like there were some Astros fans at that game.
I woke up, I'm like scrolling through Twitter. I'm seeing all these different videos, different angles, different parts of the ballpark. I'm like, they're fighting each other, man. I don't see a lot of Astros jerseys.
Every time. Every game. I saw a guy tweet, don't lump all Dodgers. This is this is out of character. What? This is every game. They're fighting each other. Every single game.
Nightmare.
Remember my first beer.
We'll get started in the NFL here. This one's for Ben, because I know if we didn't save it for the Reindl Report, he probably would have done an hour.
Do a whole segment on this. Ugh. He's giddy right now. Look at the smile.
He's
creeping
so
across.
Happy.
He can't let go.
He just can't do it.
All shucks.
Philip Rivers says
Rivers.
I stopped myself. He's says he's staying ready and won't close the door on a possible NFL return. Of course, Carson Wentz for the Colts, where Philip Rivers played his last season in the NFL. Carson Wentz out for the wide range of 5 to 12 weeks.
5 to 12, yeah.
We don't know. Could be the season. Could be back before the start of the regular season, not sure, but he's out with a broken foot. Of course, that leads people to say, hey, what's Philip Rivers doing? Well, he's coaching high school football out in Alabama, and he says he's happy with it. He says, I'm just going to stay ready. I want to make sure I'm very clear, not predicting I will play in December or January for that matter. One, you've got to have somebody who wants you, and two, it's got to be right, but I have not completely ruled that out.
Well, listen, I mean, Frank Reich, I'm sure, has already put in a call. Hey, how you feeling? Are you in shape? You know, I know you're coaching high school football.
Stay ready, kid.
Do you look like a high school football coach right now is what I want to know. How are the knees?
Hopefully not yet. At this point,
yeah,
you know,
how are
just
the knees feeling?
A couple of months into the job, he hasn't completely gone full high school football coach.
Because I'll tell you, like, he played, I mean, he was Iron Man, right, in the NFL. They, like, never, you know, he's hurt, but he played hurt. But I'm telling you, Benny, there's got to be something in you that's like, okay, I'm finally done. I'll take chicken fried steak. Yeah, give me two of them. You let yourself go, I would imagine, right? Just for at least a year. Let yourself go, relax.
It would have to be tough to keep yourself in NFL shape.
Oh, God, yes.
After retirement, going, do I really want to put in this amount of effort? Not even knowing if an opportunity is going to be there. Crazy thing is, Rivers 39 years old, and he kind of looked it by the end of his NFL career that, you know, put a lot of wear and tear Didn't miss like a single game over those basically, you know, 17 years that he played as a starting NFL quarterback. Still 5 years younger than Tom Brady, who just continues to go on as though Father Time applies to everybody else and not him. It is absolutely insane that he just keeps going and really shows almost no sign of slowing after almost 25 years. Stunning. But yeah, Rivers, I wouldn't want to be the guy that was the team that was relying on him to come out of St. Michael Catholic High School to save their NFL season.
Ben, as he's looking up flights to Indianapolis in December, just in case.
Just in case old 17 makes his return to the field. Hey, Ben, good to see you.
If he did, I would certainly be pulling for him.
Philip Rivers is a loser.
Wow. Well, boy, times have changed.
That's an old drop. I was going to talk about the NBA and, you know, Steph Curry getting a four-year, $215 million extension.
The second $200 million contract.
Carmelo Anthony joining LeBron and the Lakers. But, well, I just told you about it, and I got two better stories.
All right, let's go.
You mentioned it like at like 6:05 this morning. We just barely touched on it. But you saw the viral video. Got like 10 million hits on Twitter alone of the passenger on the Frontier Airlines flight that was going from Philly to Miami. 2-year-old Max Berry.
Oh, man.
He was arrested at Miami International Airport, charged with 3 counts of battery. And the video, I mean, he's
belligerent.
Just going off on everyone that will listen to him. He's screaming, "My parents are worth $2 billion.
$2 billion.
F you.
$2 million, which was actually one of the funniest parts of it.
F you.
Not that I'm turning up my nose. I would love to be worth $2 million.
Same.
I'm not. Then again,
that's not real FU money, though.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's not like 30 years ago when you're a millionaire, it actually means something.
Deal.
Yeah, pretty much anyone who owns a house now in Southern California is a millionaire at this point.
So he touched, this is allegedly.
Yeah, he had two drinks.
Allegedly touched 2 flight attendants' breasts. Then he screamed his parents are worth $2 million before punching a flight attendant. So then they had to restrain him using duct tape. And they got it up over his mouth, and he, like, chewed his way through, and it was slight, and he's like, "Help me! Help me!" He's hammered. 2 drinks, my ass. Like, there's no...
That's what he ordered.
That's what they always say. Oh, he's had 2 beers. He's had 2 drinks.
Like, the record show that he ordered...
What did you have at the airport lounge before you got on the plane?
How many airplane shots did you sneak in?
But he did say he was screaming that his grandpa is worth $40 million. Now, that ups the stakes a little bit, but this tweet really nailed it. Grandpa's worth $40 million. You're flying in seat 27F on Frontier. Pop Pop hates Max Berry, too. Oh, dude. It's awful.
I watched the video like 3 times.
Me,
I'm like,
too.
What am I watching right now?
It's the old affluenza bit. You know what I mean? Terrible. I mean, Ben, that could have been you, but
the
you controlled
duct tape
yourself.
Got me. I just wasn't expecting that. Like, how are they going to restrain him? I just was not expecting them to duct tape him to the back of the chair. Right across his face, and then the whole hell.
I'll do Southwest. I can't do Frontier.
Frontier's not that bad. I've flown it before.
I've flown Frontier.
It was fine.
Was it?
Yeah. So
they don't charge you. Do they charge you for like breathing air on the flight?
Whoa!
No, I'm frugal. I don't like to pay for my bags. I don't like to pay for my.
I don't think. Yeah.
Water.
When I flew Frontier, I didn't have to pay for all that. That's only Spirit, as far as I know.
Is that okay? I was worried
my dad.
All those excess charges.
My old man's tried to throw the old Spirit fastball by me a few times. Hey, I found a good deal. I'm like, Dad, $7.
$9 flight.
Yeah. Hey, you think you could tough this out?
Your carry-on.
No, I can't.
Your carry-on bag, though, is going to cost $70.
Yep. Every time. He hasn't done it in years.
Water, $10. You want it with ice, $14.
But he has tried to sneak the cheese by the rat a few times at that Spirit. Hey, can you confirm this? These times work? I'm like, I'm not doing Spirit.
God. That's my mom. She's like, hey, honey, I miss you. You want to fly up to Seattle
not
for
on
a
Spirit.
Weekend? I'll pay for it. I'm like, no. If I want to come up, I got this.
I'd rather drive than fly Spirit.
100%.
I've never flown it.
I'd pay more money.
All you
than
see
gas.
is horror story after horror story from that airline.
I mean,
hopefully they're not a sponsor.
You think you're jammed on any other, like a Southwest flight, dude? They cram you even further in a Spirit airline. It's not fun. And finally, here is your headline. I mean, just irony of ironies here. So there's a Titanic museum.
I would love to go to it. I'm fascinated.
It's in Tennessee.
Right? Now, about the actual boat, not the movie.
Yes, okay. about the actual boat.
Yeah.
Where is it?
It's in Tennessee.
Obviously.
Tennessee. Yeah. Just where you'd expect.
Obviously.
That makes the most sense.
You see it to be like.
Yeah, it made you think maybe like New York or something or.
So the,
I mean, the ship went down right by Tennessee,
yeah,
right?
And
the museum, you can kind of see the picture here. It's in the shape of a boat. It's really cool. It's in the shape of the Titanic. And three people were injured and had to go to the hospital because of the iceberg.
The iceberg?
They have a giant iceberg, ice wall as part of the attraction, and it collapsed.
Oops.
And fell on three people.
Oh, my God.
Who were... They're safe. I mean, they're alive. They went to the hospital for minor injuries. The museum closed down for a couple days, I think, and then reopened. But just, yeah, an iceberg wall at the Titanic Museum.
That ship really is cursed. It really is cursed. I'm telling you, I'll get down a rabbit hole of the Titanic and watch those videos of the when they go down into
it. It's pretty wild.
You get me for like 4 hours. I don't know why I'm obsessed with it, but I really liked the movie. I thought the movie was really good.
Those passengers on the lower deck were really Spirit Airlines.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, dude.
Yes.
I think I'd rather go on the Titanic, maybe. The lower deck. The Spirit Airlines of 1903.
Oh, man.
Thank you, Paulie.
You're welcome.
It's our Rindle Report. All right, Padres are going for a sweep today. We'll see. We'll take a look at what they've got ahead. It's a day game. Early start today, 12:37 first pitch. So what the Padres have looking forward, then Corey Brock talking a little Tony Gwynn.
Oh, it's a great article,
when
man.
We come back, stay tuned for all of it. That's just ahead. Right now, let's check traffic with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Got to say, a bit of a sanity saver while you're traveling, just back from my vacation, but you can discover hundreds of exclusive music stations available right now only on the free Odyssey app, brought to you by Macy's, Geico, and Coke Zero Sugar, something for everybody in the family. Keep everybody happy. We had a lot of driving that we had to do during the trip, a lot of time, just downtime that music listening helps pass the time, and the Odyssey app's a great way to do it, Woodsy.
All right.
I know that I was only allowed to bring up one.
Yes, one and
old
one, that's
topic.
It. That's it.
This one isn't old though, because
Chargers leaving. Will they come back?
Simone Biles did get the bronze medal yesterday, coming back on the balance beam, and I'm very curious because it was a big controversy while I was gone, or it seemed like it, and I totally didn't understand the anger. Why are people mad at Simone Biles if she doesn't want to compete? That's on her. That's her choice, and I fully support her decision to, if she was not comfortable competing, the last thing she should do is to go out there when she's not prepared.
To hurt herself.
Yeah,
to do
something like that. And it seemed like, she's letting her country down, she's letting her teammates down. I didn't understand that. At the same time, I also have to acknowledge that, of course, it does impact her legacy as an athlete. You have to judge athletes on what they accomplish in the biggest competitions. Tiger Woods may have been the most talented golfer of all time, but if he didn't compete in, half of the majors and win the majors that he did, then he doesn't go down with the same legacy. It's impossible to, pull out and say, well, obviously Simone Biles, look at her. She's so incredible and athletic. Yes, she is. But part of her legacy is how she does in competitions, and if she doesn't compete in them.
She smoked people for years.
She's
got enough gold medals and enough world championships that, again, like my whole
She's already completely proven herself.
Dude, yes.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. I mean, I agree with you. She has completely proven herself.
I don't think it affects her legacy one
Not at all.
Iota.
Okay.
I really don't. I think, your legacy is who you are as a person, what you have done, what you've left behind, and the way that you've handled yourself. I think all of that factors into it. And I actually got into it with a guy I really like on Twitter. Was DMing me yesterday, and he said, don't compare her mental health issues to guys like mine and yours. And I said, well, why? He said, because, you have to get up, you fight through yours, you come in, do the show, I got to get up, I got to go to work. And I said, no. I said, it's mental health is mental health. And you can be, it's like saying a guy, is worth $1 billion. Well, why should he be mentally ill? He's worth $1 billion. He can buy anything and do anything he wants, go anywhere. It affects everybody. And you weren't here. I keep forgetting. So, I've been in it hard, and it just hit me out of left field. And I have no idea why. And I feel a lot better today than I did a week ago. But I had no idea what was the matter with me. None. I got a great job. I had a beautiful family. They're healthy. Signed a new deal. Got a great show. We have phenomenal listeners for the most part. And I just wanted to crawl in a black hole. She is a world-class athlete. She's got all the gold medals she can handle. Something in her was not ready. And I loved the fact that so many people had such a problem with her withdrawing, saying she cost her team. Without her withdrawing, the girl that did end up winning, she's not going to have that opportunity. I mean, you can credit her for stepping up when her team needed her the most and doing that and winning those gold medals. I just don't think it should be a knock on Simone. Not that you're knocking her.
No,
I'm not.
And in fact, I also wanted to say that long after the Olympics and who won and who lost is forgotten, people will remember.
This is important.
That this is important.
Yes.
That this is something.
That's part of your legacy, in my opinion. Like, again, so many people, I got so many nice messages, man, from people saying, hey, dude, driving to work, listen to your thing, and thank you. Thank you for talking about it. Thank you for not being afraid to talk about it. It's, look, if it was something to be embarrassed about, I would be embarrassed. I'm not. I don't have really any control over it. I really don't. Like, I can try to mitigate the damage sometimes, but it just punches you in the face, and you're like, well, where did that come from? What do I have to be upset about? Look out the window, right? What do I have to be upset about? I don't know, but I am. It's very weird, and it's extremely unfair, but I think for her, in her case, it opened a lot of people's eyes, and of course it brought out the detractors, the people that were looking to take a shot at her. And
guys who, if their life depended on it,
if a gun was in their mouth,
couldn't do
Couldn't stand on a balance beam.
I don't know a lot of gymnastic terms, but like her most basic thing, they couldn't do it if their life depended on it.
There's no doubt.
I stood on a diving board on my vacation thinking, I just can do a cannonball. I can't do anything.
Is the video of this? Shelly
cannonballing?
Did you cannonball?
Oh, of course.
Shelly.
What?
That's the only easy way to go off a diving board.
What in the world?
No, it wasn't the 20-meter one. Right. There was one of those that was way up there. This is just a normal off a pier, dock, into the lake.
You jumped into a lake?
Oh, many times.
I'm proud of you.
Many times jumped into a lake.
No, so I was going to say...
It was very clean and very... You'd like this lake.
So I was going to say, your tricks will... they're different in a pool. You're not going to do the same tricks in a lake. If you can't see the bottom...
No, you could all. That was a crazy thing, though. You could see all the way, 10 feet down to the bottom, and the rocks and the weeds and the fish at the bottom. It
what's
was
the
clean.
Worst bit off of a diving board? The pencil?
Just straight down?
Yeah. Your buddy, hey, watch this. I'm going to do a pencil. You're like, thanks for wasting
Did
my
time. Did I make
time.
A big splash?
Yeah, you're like, no, stop. The jackknife was always good. I never would do the gainer. You know what a gainer is? You stand backwards, and then you go that way.
Oh,
like a backwards dive.
Arch your back all the way back.
There's just no chance.
I mean, you watch some of the Olympic divers and how unbelievable the synchronized diving that they did is like nuts.
It's
that
insane.
They can coordinate
so
the way
talented.
They do. It is amazing. All these Olympic athletes in all of their own ways are absolutely unbelievable. So... Anyway, I'm glad Simone Biles was able to get a bronze medal.
Dude, I thought it was so cool.
Not if she hadn't, wouldn't have made a difference. But I still felt good for her that she came back and was able to medal and get back out there. Just because for anyone who's struggling and to be able to kind of get through that and be able to do what you weren't able to do before, that's an accomplishment in and of itself. Just getting out there and competing again.
After the way I played yesterday on the golf course, if I can go out and hit one ball straight today, that will be a major, major accomplishment. Holy crap. No, it's the mind is such a powerful thing, and I just applaud her so much.
Padres will try to make it 3 straight wins this afternoon, 12:37 first pitch. So we'll have an early 11:37 pregame show here today on 97.3 The Fan. Joe Musgrove looking to build off a really outstanding effort his last time out as he takes the ball against the A's, Frankie Montas, and the Padres going for a quick two-game sweep of the A's before coming back home later in the off days. Got a rested bullpen, got a pitcher who looked really good last time. Hopefully, more than Blake Snell, who I said I'm not getting excited about Blake Snell yet after his effort yesterday. That was dodging out of trouble.
Come on.
That was getting the job done. But I actually was excited after seeing Joe Musgrove's last start, thinking, I think he figured out something. I hope that he can continue that today and just keep the momentum rolling now, hopefully through these kind of couple months of the season. Could really help out the Padres. So that would be a good, a sweep of the A's. As you said, that's a legit team and a legit lineup.
Now, Montas has been pretty good, man.
Lately, especially.
Four straight quality starts, struck out 10 against the Angels. He's got a pretty gnarly splitter. Him and Musgrove are pretty similar, Ben. Joe is 7-7 with a 2.94. He's got 134 Ks. Montas is 9-8, but his ERA is almost double, or one run higher, 4.08. But he has 132 Ks. So should be an interesting one today. Very beatable. Very beatable. Joe's just got to pitch his tail off, and if he gets in any trouble, we do have that really, really good bullpen to back him up, and he knows that, so he can go out there and just let it fly.
All right, looking forward to it. Padres trying to build a little momentum this week, and a two-game sweep of the A's would be great. Off day, come back home. Diamondbacks this weekend as well.
Yes, Diamondbacks.
Coming to Petco Park. Obviously, you don't count any chickens, as you said. We don't know. They've struggled against teams that you expect them to beat up on, but at the same time, it is an opportunity that's right in front of you, especially if you win this game, to have a really good week as you head into these final 2 months of the season. So keep an eye on that. And, of course, we'll talk about it tomorrow. We're also supposed to be having Matt Strom on. We're actually talking to him later today and then bring that to you on the show tomorrow. So welcoming him back to the roster. Looking forward to that.
Was watching that outing last night, standing up in front of the TV because I wanted Matty to have a good outing so badly, knowing we were talking to him. And he did. And it was so good to see him back. I know he was fired up. Can't wait to catch up.
If you haven't read it yet, a tremendous piece by Corey Brock in The Athletic, chronicling the first professional season of Tony Gwynn. Corey, of course, Pacific Northwest guy. And Tony Gwynn's first professional season back in, what, 1981, was it? Walla Walla, Washington, the short season single-A affiliate of the Padres, where he met John Kruk, and just some of the amazing stories that Corey was able to talk to people and kind of put together this picture of what it was like for Tony Gwynn. Amazing story. So we're going to have Corey join us to talk a little bit about that. We'll do that coming up next in our final segment. Stay tuned. It is Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sour Ben and Woods is brought to you by Smart Investing. Tune in Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. to 97.3 The Fan to listen to the Smart Investing Show. Brent Wilsey, the host of the show, has over 40 years' experience in finance, was recently picked as one of California's top investment advisors for 2020 by Forbes magazine. Smart Investing, Saturdays, 8 a.m. on 97.3 The Fan. Have you missed our little liners and reads?
No.
You had to do a lot of them while I was gone.
Probably didn't do as many as I should have, but
probably
I did
not.
as many as I could.
We got them all done today. Good job, Ben. Shocker.
Good job, Ben.
No, Adam, we read them all.
No, I read all of them.
I loved Corey's story,
yeah,
Corey Brock,
awesome.
On Tony Gwynn and his first season as a baseball professional in the minor leagues. We're going to talk to Corey Brock right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. All right, joining us right now in our Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad Fan Hotline, one of our favorite baseball writers, Corey Brock. And Corey, I understand you actually chatted with the guys while I was gone on vacation, but needed to bring you back after what a tremendous piece about Tony Gwynn and his first minor league season in Walla Walla, Washington. Good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing well, man. We loved this yesterday when it popped up. I go, Paulie, we just had Corey on. I don't care. Just get him on again. I want to talk about this. What inspired this piece in The Athletic?
Hey, I'm glad you asked. You know, what was funny, this goes all the way back to December. I don't know. I'm just doing some stuff around the house, probably some chores or neglecting chores. Probably that's more accurately the case. But I had the MLB Network on, and, you know, they were showing the Tony Gwynn, you know, special they did, right? And it kind of, I think they mentioned Walla Walla on there briefly. And I had always known that Tony started his career in Walla Walla, probably just because I saw it on the back of a baseball card or, you know, growing up in the Northwest. And just so people know, Walla Walla is about a 4 or 5 hour drive from Seattle, you know, depending on if you get behind a hay baler at some point on some of those roads as you get into eastern Washington. So, you know, I thought about that, and I thought, you know what? We're coming up on the 40th anniversary of Tony's, the start of his career. I think it'd be fun to kind of retrace those steps and talk to some people that were around Tony that summer, and lo and behold, there were some great stories that came from it.
I was on one of those roads going over the Blewett Pass just a few days ago on my vacation, so I know what you're talking about there, Corey. Some of the great things, I like, for instance, I knew covering Tony, one of the things that he hated most of all was flying. Which is weird for a professional baseball player.
Kind of a weird profession to choose,
exactly.
Knowing you're going to spend a lot of your life in
an airplane. But the story, and I don't know where you got this information about his first trip to get to Walla Walla after he was drafted and sent there by the Padres, Corey.
Well, yeah, he absolutely hated flying. And I think then as he got into his career and certainly flying charters with the Padres, he just kind of learned to tolerate it, but never really liked it. But, you know, just kind of going back and talking to his agent, talking to Alicia, who was, oh, she was so helpful for this story. And then, you know, I tracked down some information from the Spokane airport, who exactly was flying these flights and what type of equipment they were using. So I was, you know, I was able to find out, exactly what kind of plane he was flying on. Sure enough, Alicia said that it just scared the hell out of him. You know, these little prop jobs feel like they're flying about 40 feet off the ground. You hit every bump there is, and I'm sure he was very happy to get to Walla Walla, not just to start his career, but maybe to actually just get his feet on the ground.
Yeah, I've done that one time, and never again. You look down, the traffic on the freeway is going faster than the airplane is going because of the headwind. It's the most terrifying thing ever. I can't even imagine. But we're talking to Corey Brock right now, and he wrote a great piece about Tony Gwynn. I wanted to talk about his buddy that he made up there in Walla Walla. You know, John Kruk, just one of the great characters of my lifetime. I'm 46 years old, and Kruk has just been, he's just been one of those characters in baseball. Imagine that team, Tony Gwynn, John Kruk, both learning and finding their way as professional ball players. Pretty amazing.
Yeah, and, you know, Kruk's situation was a little different. He was a year younger than Tony when he got to Walla Walla, and certainly didn't have the, you know, the Division I experience that Tony had that probably helped him assimilate well to that level, and certainly his skills did. But the two kind of gravitated toward each other pretty quickly, and they ended up renting bikes and essentially spent that summer kind of whirling around Walla Walla. They'd go play video games at the bowling alley. Eat meals together. There's a great story in there about a prank that Tony pulled on John Kruk while they were on the road. I'll leave that for the listeners to dig that up. But it's hilarious. But I think, you know, John saw something in Tony that he sort of wanted to emulate, that Tony had some answers that John didn't at that point. And not just that, Tony was willing to share that information. And John quickly realized, guys, that, you know, if he didn't get his act together, maybe that trip to Walla Walla was going to be his only stop. And certainly Tony, I think, helped him along in his professional career, and certainly they got a chance to play together later. But, yeah, it was kind of the birth of a friendship that lasted for a lifetime.
Talking to Corey Brock, I wrote a piece about Tony Gwynn, just amazing. Now, there was one detail, you just mentioned it, that I was dying to know, and I don't know if there was any amount of research that could have ever uncovered this tidbit, but you mentioned how he and John Kruk would go to the bowling alley and they'd take a $5 bill, get quarters, and play video games for hours. I thought video games, but then again, Tony Gwynn had the greatest hand-eye coordination maybe of all time.
Also ridiculously competitive.
Right.
You know?
I wonder what games were they playing at that bowling alley? What was Tony's like favorite video game when he was a minor league baseball player? I don't know if that was something that ever even occurred to you, Corey, to find out, but I was just wondering which game Tony played.
Oh, that's a great question. And this is right up my alley, too. I'm 52, so, like, that was prime, you know, video games
all summer
at the bowling alley.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
And so, yeah, no, John didn't
early
80s, remember,
I mean, what is even out there? Like Galaga?
Asteroids.
Yeah.
Yeah, all
sure.
That. Pac-Man, the whole bit.
Popeye.
Popeye.
I don't know.
Donkey Kong, even.
You know,
Donkey
Kong. Like,
yeah.
We could have our own segment on 80s video games, I think. It would be very popular.
I just, but, yeah, I no, could John imagine he was very good, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and I think John was just demoralized playing against Tony in video games. Like, it wasn't bad enough that this guy could just fall out of bed and get four hits in a game, that he was also amazing playing video games. So, yeah, John never felt the same about video games after that. But, again, it was something they could do together. You know, you get a lot of off time. And let's face it, it's 1981 in Walla Walla. There weren't a whole lot of other things to do.
We were talking to Corey Brock. Wrote a really, really good piece about Tony Gwynn in The Athletic. Highly encourage you guys to go check it out. I wanted to ask you, while we got you, we talked to you last week. There was a bit of doom and gloom with the Mariners, right? You traded your closer. There's some unrest in the locker room. It seems to have calmed down a little bit. And you know, handling up on the Tampa Bay Rays will help a team get back together, won't it, Corey?
Yeah, and, you know, I've had people sort of suggest to me that, well, I will go back a week and say, yeah, the optics of that trade weren't good, just the timing, trading him to a division rival who happened to be in town that day. I completely get that. But I think if you look at this holistically, you realize this was a good baseball trade, especially the ones they made after, including getting Diego Castillo, the closer, to replace Kendall Graveman. So, you know, these guys are professionals. And, you know, I had people ask me, like, oh, this is going to be, you know, you're going to have a bad clubhouse for a while here. And I thought that's a little disingenuous to these players who are professionals. A lot of them have been traded before. They understand the business of the game. And certainly time marches on, right? I think this Abraham Toro is going to be a nice player for them. He's already off to a great start. Diego Castillo had a save last night. And, you know, they're three games out of the wild card. So things are still looking pretty good for the Mariners.
You know, I was just in Seattle yesterday, and my son actually coming. I don't see any people walking around with, like, Mariners jerseys or gear. There's Seahawks stuff. There was Kraken jerseys, you know, all over the place. But you didn't see a lot of it. I don't know. Is that do they just don't believe in this team? They're only two games out in the wild card race behind the
playing
A's,
good.
Tied with the Yankees. Is there a skepticism about the Mariners right now, Corey, that people just don't think that they're going to get it done?
Well, sure, and, you know, they haven't been in the playoffs in 20 years. So, you know, for a generation of fans, they don't know anything other than this. So, but, yeah, a couple factors there. Sadly, a lot of people don't go out in downtown Seattle anymore for reasons you might expect. And then it's a Seahawk town, and then, of course, are still non-existent. Well, I guess it's not a non-existent NHL team anymore. I used to call them that because they were still very popular when they didn't have any players. But yeah, people are cracking crazy up in Seattle. So maybe, you know, as we get a little further into August, into September, you're playing meaningful games, maybe the fans will come around.
Corey, I really appreciate it. Great piece. I encourage anyone to check it out that hasn't, any Tony Gwynn fan, Padres fan, in The Athletic. Always good talking to you, man.
Hey, good catching up, guys. I guess we'll talk next week about something else.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Keep writing good stuff. Having you on. How about that?
We'll find an excuse. Thanks, Corey.
I love it.
Corey Brock and our Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. Save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Visit them today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall. Chevrolet, find new roads.
Now, Paulie, you're younger than Ben and I. You probably spent many a summer's day whiling away the entire day playing video games, probably from your home, though, right? We had the arcade experience, and my mom would just drop me off at the mall with, like, a $10 bill and get $10 in quarters.
Yeah.
Your jeans are overflowing with
the
quarters.
Tokens.
Yeah, tokens. And you would just sit and play video games for hours. And then I can remember when it kind of flipped one summer where games used to cost a quarter. Then it was like, whoa, this is a driving game. I actually get to sit in here. I got a gear shift. Wait, it's a dollar? And then there was, do you remember the jet fighter one?
You would get in it,
and it would move, and it was like $2.50 to play, and it was just incredible.
Then it started just getting too complicated even for me.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, I can't even follow some of these new games. But back in the old day, just the regular quarter,
yep,
the Pac-Mans, the
Asteroids,
yeah,
all that was amazing.
I'd go to UTC. The arcade was right above the ice rink at UTC back then. And, yeah, you'd go to the mall and you spend hours in the arcade.
They had the, do you remember the Olympics?
Track and field.
The ball.
Well, see, there was the one that was the tap buttons back and forth. Yeah, I could never do it. But when they had the track ball, That one I could actually advance out of the 100-meter race.
God, it was so...
To the second, whatever the second qualifying was, to the long jump or something.
It was so much fun. Now, you know, I would probably get in trouble if I sat and went... If I went today on the summer day that it is and played video games all day. But the old school arcade, there's a couple of them around here. There's a place in North Park that's like a coin op, and they've got an arcade there. Been meaning to go by there for years, and I need to get in there and go play some games. That'd be a fun show out and go play some video games.
I've done a couple of them with my kids growing up, and now it's all about, you know, you get tickets and you exchange them for like that kind of model where then you exchange them for chintzy little prizes.
Did you ever have high score on anything?
Oh, absolutely.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
I never did.
Put your initials in?
Yeah, I never did. I mean, I would get like top 10. I had Kung Fu I was really good at.
Oh, yeah.
And I got my initials on Kung Fu, and that was a big summer for
me.
It's
big. When, like a real machine when you could put your initials in. That was a big moment.
But I never got first, ever.
And then someone would unplug it, and they'd all get reset.
And they get reset.
And they'd be gone.
Frogger, they did a whole Seinfeld episode about Frogger. That was an amazing, amazing game. I miss those days, Benny. No responsibilities whatsoever. Just doing what you wanted, eating what you wanted, swimming all day, playing video games. That was the life. That we should have worked when we were younger, and now that we're older, we should be able to relax like that every day.
The expression is youth is wasted on the young. And now that I've gotten older, I sort of understand what it means. Like, when you're young, you're always impatient to get on to the next thing. I want to grow up. I want to do this. I want to do that. And then when you get older, you realize, man, I had it so good. Why didn't I appreciate all the time and all the fun I was able to have when I was younger? And just wishing that, you know, that time away. Like, I just want to be older. I want to be able to drive.
Yeah, make my own money.
Yeah. And it's like,
overrated, man. Way sitting by the pool with your buddies all day long, you know, talking about girls at school. There's nothing like listening to music.
We pay good money just to be able to do that on vacation now, to sit by the pool for a few minutes.
And it's not relaxing because your email's going off and your texts are going off.
And your kids are there.
Kids are there.
They're hungry and they need something.
I don't know if you guys know this, but kids aren't super relaxing to be around. Just FYI. So, yeah, dude, I miss those summer days more than anything. Oh, well, at least I have golf. That's not frustrating at all. So,
We've got the Padres. Again, early start today, 12:37. So Coach John Quintero is going to take over here when we're done at 9 o'clock and go right into the pregame show as the Padres go for a quick two-game sweep of the A's and try to at least maintain. They picked up ground on everybody yesterday with the win. They are just 2.5 games behind the Dodgers for the first wild card spot. And that's not nothing, Woods. You know, if the Padres could catch the Dodgers and at least host the wild card game, even if the Giants are uncatchable, and I'm not saying that they are, but at 6 games back, the fact that we kept expecting the Giants to kind of have a lull and they just haven't, just like I said, it's going to be really hard for the Reds to catch the Padres. Well, if the Giants just play, you know, above 500 baseball the rest of the way,
they'll be okay.
It's going to be hard for the Padres or the Dodgers to even catch the Giants at that point. They're going to have to play really good the rest of the way, but there's value in passing the Dodgers and getting a chance to host that one-game wild card. If that's what it comes down to, rather than have to go up to the 52,000 lunatics up at Dodger Stadium fighting amongst themselves in the stands like they saw yesterday. Didn't help them win, though, against the Houston Astros.
No, today should be an interesting one. I don't know who's going for Houston, but Max Scherzer makes his debut. And so that'll be great.
It'd be interesting. You know, Padres did fairly well in a couple of starts against Max Scherzer this year.
You know, it's funny, though, man. Houston seems to be that team.
Odorizzi scheduled.
Odorizzi?
Yeah, 6:40 tonight.
Houston seems to be that team that the more you feed them negativity, the more they eat it up and spit it out and use it to their advantage. It's really, we said it probably 2 years ago. We're like, we all said it. Man, people are going to boo them. They're going to use it as fuel. They're going to bond together, and they're going to go out and dominate. They look really, really good. Lance McCullers Jr. last night was filthy.
They might be the team to beat in the AL. Yeah, I know the White Sox have had a really good season. But
these guys have done it. They've done it. You know, now, albeit they had to, you know, manipulate the rules a little bit to do it in certain cases, Benny, but doesn't mean you still have to go out there and win those games. And they did. And, it should be an interesting one tonight. Padres. Yeah, that's probably what I'm going to do. I'm probably going to go Padres, A's, and then go right into Dodgers.
And if you want to do a little scoreboard watching coming up in about 40 minutes, Twins at Reds, you know, that keep that wild card picture in order and cheer for the Minnesota Twins today against the Cincinnati Reds in an interleague game.
Well, it's good to have you back, pal.
It was good to be back. It was a nice,
tonight?
Easy landing. Yeah.
All right.
Back into the television job as well.
Okay.
So, looking forward to tomorrow. Where again, Matt Strom should be joining us. We can break down the Padres' quick two-game series against the A's. That will do it for us. Coach John Quintero coming up next, leading into Padres pregame. For executive producer Paul Reindel, for Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Thanks for joining us. Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.